Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Giants get off the schneid. They get that first win, the first win of the Joe Judge era. To talk about it, we bring in the Dean of Giants Writers, Paul Schwartz from the New York Post. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Well, Laurie, I'm a little different after this game than I was after the first five. And strangely enough, I don't even think I feel in some ways worse about the way the Giants played in this one than some of the losses. But look, 0-6 would have been deadly. 1-5 is better. Not great, but better.
Well, let's put aside for a second, how they played. And you're right in terms of the record. And what's insane is that this division they're in. That, have you ever seen anything like this that it, at 1-5, I mean, as bad as they looked, this division just seems terrible.
Well, remember, what was it, 2013 was the last time when they went 0-6, mm-hmm. and the season was over, and then they won four straight, and they had a night game against the Cowboys, I believe. It was definitely against the Cowboys for first place. You know what I mean? At 4-6, they were actually playing for first place. So, this division has had some really rotten years. But, yeah, this is when you have two wins, the Cowboys, the Giants have won. The Eagles, they play on Thursday night, 1-4-1. Giants and Washington, 1-5. I don't know. Would you want to bet me on 8-8 winning the division? I'm not sure I'm going to go there.
Yeah, and you're right. Is we absolutely could see a losing record win the division here. Meanwhile, so it's interesting. You said on the one hand, I look at this and say a win's a win, but it's interesting you say that. Let's start there with then. You said they didn't play as well as you've seen them in other weeks. So what do you make of this game?
Well, they won the game. Look, I mean, it's a win and lose league. They won the game, but Daniel Jones essentially made two winning plays in the game. A beautiful, teardrop lob pass to Darius Slayton for a touchdown and a 49-yard run, which led to points. I mean, that was about it. He didn't do a whole lot. He threw a terrible red zone interception. Mm-hmm. I mean, just a brutal play. He just has to. I mean, he's got a strong arm. Throw the ball into the third row, not into the hands of Kendall Fuller, the cornerback, who made a good play and might have come down out of bounds, but it was ruled an interception. So that was a killing play. The defense plays okay against a backup quarterback, Allen, and lets Washington go down for what could have been the winning or the tying points, depending on what Riverboat Ron Rivera wants to mm-hmm. do down there. So, a decent performance by the defense that still can't get off the field on third down, gives up that late score again. And that defense, oh, by the way, gives up another late score at the end of the first half. I think that was 11 late inside the two-minute drill situations this season, the two-minute warning that they've given up points. So, look, Washington's a bad team. I mean, I looked at that game for long stretches, and it was like one bad team playing against another bad team. But they needed to win. Maybe this gives them some impetus moving forward. Leonard Williams said it best. He said, "I was tired of walking into that locker room and seeing sad faces." No sad faces after this game.
And you know, in terms of some of the post-game comments, did you feel, obviously Joe Judge is a guy that usually makes this. It's all about the team. It's about the players. It's all, he doesn't show a lot in terms of that. Did you get a sense of any kind of emotion from Joe Judge's first NFL win?
It was hard to get it out of him, Laurie. A lot of us were trying. I tried. He came out and said, in the beginning, well, I just felt good for the players and this and that and feel good for them. And I had to ask, I said, well, does it feel good for the head coach? How does the head coach feel about this? And he said, yeah, sure it does, but then I'll have to look at the film and this and that. I think he got a little emotional. He was asked about, did you think about your father? His father passed away years ago and was very close with Joe, really kind of like ran his coaching and playing life pretty much, his dad. And he said, no, I did not think about that when I left the field. But he said, I got some texts from some people, probably friends and family, that he said made me think of that. And I think he got a little emotional with that. So, yeah, look, he had to. Until you win, you don't know if you're ever going to win. Mm-hmm. We had a really good column in our paper this week from Steve Serby, my colleague, and he talked to Joe Gibbs, who lost his first five games. Yep. Joe Gibbs is a Hall of Famer, right? Lost his first five games, and Joe Gibbs admitted, he said, he thought to himself, well, I'm going to be the first head coach to never win a game and then get fired. So I don't know if Joe Judge was thinking that, but now he will doesn't have to think that he will get fired because he never won a game because he's won one.
Talking to Paul Schwartz from the New York Post, I did actually read that column you're referring to by Serby about Gibbs. And so the Giants get this win. I haven't spoken to you, been watching, you and I usually talk from time to time. And just this season, last year I know we talked and I felt like I saw stuff from Daniel Jones that of course there was the fumbling, the turnover issue, but there was a lot that I liked in terms of the skill set of what you need to be a successful NFL quarterback. This season, I keep waiting for him to show that it factor at the end of a game. And to your point, they did not look good in this game. They may have won, but they've played better, and we've seen more in other games. And they've had chances to win, and even if the other teams were better, they had chances to win, and they couldn't make those plays at the end of a game. What are you seeing from Daniel Jones this season? Should Giants fans be concerned they're not seeing that fourth quarter comeback ability?
Yeah, I think the Giants, Giants fans, there's not a lot that I can say the Giants fans should not be concerned about fill in the blank. There's a couple of little spots there that I feel good about and Giants fans probably feel good about. But, yeah, they scored 3 points in the last three quarters. They scored no points on offense in the second half. I mean, that is supposed to get you beat. The pass that I mentioned, the pinpoint beautiful pass, 21 yards, I believe, mm-hmm. to Darius Slayton, right? That's like when people, I don't like the nickname, but people started calling him Danny Dimes, mm-hmm. right? Because he could drop the ball in like that.
Yep.
You would see that a few times a game, maybe more than a few times a game. Last year against Washington, Daniel Jones threw 5 touchdown passes. How often do you see that now in a game? We saw it once today. He throws a few nice passes here and there. So you're seeing fewer of those. Just wow, that's a wow pass. He runs the ball. We know he runs the ball well. I still don't think that's a real great recipe that is going to be his legacy, that he can use his legs to win games for the Giants. It certainly helps. It helps today, but the more you run, the more you risk getting hurt or losing the football. So he's got to stand in a pocket and throw the ball. And offensive line was better today, I think, I think they only allowed 5 pressures. That's good. Running game is not good. That's, that's a real weakness. He doesn't get the play action pass going. So, yeah, I don't think it's time to panic with Daniel Jones, but your antenna has to be up. His second season is not nearly as impressive as his first season.
Now, when we think back on last season and Daniel Jones, Pat Shurmur obviously was the head coach, but he also was the offensive play caller. It was his offensive system, and he may not have been a great offensive head coach managing the whole team. But when you think of Pat Shurmur's offensive system, his play calling, and Daniel Jones to this year with Jason Garrett's offensive system and play calling, how much, when you look at Daniel Jones, how much of this do you think is system and play calling?
That's an interesting point. I think we would probably both agree that Jason Garrett's offense is, we don't really know what it is yet. Seems mm-hmm. like there's a lot of receivers who run just to the sticks, but not beyond them. This was a Saquon Barkley-centric offense. And the minute they lost him, it's been very hard for them to adjust. Devonta Freeman is starting to come around a little bit. But you're kind of seeing some small glimpses of what he was, but also some larger glimpses of why he was unemployed, right? I mean, he looks okay. He doesn't look like a sharp weapon that he used to be. For some reason, Wayne Goldman was not used at all today on offense.
Yeah.
I thought he's looked pretty good the last mm-hmm. two games. But this is all very game plan specific, and there's something about the way Wayne Goldman runs that they didn't like against this Washington defense, so they don't put him on the field. Jason Garrett, he tries to get Evan Engram going early, and then Evan Engram disappears. So it's always that fine balance. Is this on Evan Engram? Is this on Jason Garrett? Is this on Daniel Jones? Is this on Jason Garrett? It has not been a really strong pairing right now. Last week, in a game the Giants could have won, they emptied the whole playbook out,
yep.
right? And they did a lot of interesting things.
Yep.
Some worked, some didn't work. This was a pretty conservative operation against Washington. It really was.
Yeah, I thought I agree. I'm not sure if Jason Garrett was inspired by playing his former team and wanted to show something last week, but I agree with you. Offensive play calling, much more interesting last week versus this week. You also referenced a moment ago the offensive line obviously not being great. So that was an interesting story on Sunday.
Very.
Andrew Jones, Andrew Thomas, the number four overall pick, number one draft pick, does not start the game. Matt Parrott starts the game. And then, so number one, let's explain that for people, clarify that for people. But then let's talk also about the usage of players throughout the game.
Yeah, it was, unless the guy got hurt in warm-ups, which happens from time to time, you see that and you say, okay, something's up. This has to be discipline. I didn't think there was any way that Joe Judge was going to bench, as you said, the number four pick in the draft because he hasn't played well and put in a rookie, third-round pick from UConn, Matt Peart, who is a huge specimen and a guy who nobody really believes is ready to play right away, heavy-duty minutes. They just were not going to make that move, and they didn't. Joe Judge said after the game that this was not performance-based, and it was a violation of team policy. It was very interesting because when coaches just kind of say a little bit and they don't say enough, then you start thinking, holy cow, what was this violation of team policy? What the heck did he do? So he said there was nothing disobedient, disrespectful, or malicious about what he did. So now you're thinking, then what the heck did you bench the guy for? What was
right.
it? Well, it turns out he was late for a team meeting mm-hmm. on Saturday night. Okay, that is a minor infraction, but it's definitely an infraction. Joe Judge is not going to let that go unscathed. And
mm-hmm.
it was very interesting that Andrew Thomas said afterwards in a statement that I was late. Joe Judge always says there are consequences when you make mistakes, and this was the consequence, and I accept it. And he said, this won't happen again. So Peart starts, he plays pretty much the whole first quarter fine. Thomas comes in, plays, but very interesting, in the third quarter, there is a bad play by Thomas. There's a backside block he has to make. He does it. Montez Sweat runs across the field
yep.
and drops Devonta Freeman for a one-yard loss on third down. It kills a drive. And the next series, Peart was in the game. Now, I didn't get a chance. Nobody got a chance to ask Joe Judge that, but there is no way that was, oh, you know what? I'm still mad at him for missing this, for being late to this meeting,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm going to sit him again. That was a performance situation, and it's interesting. You know, these guys don't play around. He's your prize rookie, but he hasn't played well, and he gets benched again. But between the two of them, You didn't hear Chase Young's name very much, did you, today?
Nope. No, you didn't. So
two tackles, one tackle for loss, no sacks, no quarterback hits. So this whatever mind games and machinations the Giants did with these young left tackles, Chase Young, a rookie, was really mitigated.
Yeah, and we were expecting coming into the game that was sort of the marquee matchup, what would happen, and you're right about that. You know, in that respect, they hold their own. So in terms of the defense, want your impressions so far, given the talent and experience that's out there. You know, as you said, look, the defense has a problem in two-minute drills. You know, they have some issues with third downs. There's different things going on. But overall, your impressions so far of the job that defensive coordinator Patrick Graham is doing?
I think very good, because it's not great personnel. It's okay personnel, sometimes less than okay personnel. I mean, look today, look in this game on Sunday, who gets the key play? Tyler Fackrell, a good free agent pickup, causes a fumble. Tay Crowder, right? Mr. Irrelevant,
yep.
The 255th player. Mm-hmm. He's the third inside linebacker who they've cycled through here to see if they can figure out, a starting job. And I guess Crowder, he had double-digit tackles and plus a, you know, scoop and score, 43-yard touchdown recovery and return. So it just goes to show they are mixing and matching like crazy here. They have a couple, maybe more than a couple. You know, Blake Martinez is a constant. Jabril Peppers, when healthy, is a constant. James Bradbury, who has been a terrific signing,
yep,
is a constant. And
what about Leonard Williams? What's your impression of him? He seems like he's okay. He seems like he's having a decent season.
Yeah, he's playing better than decent.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he has three sacks already. Mm-hmm. So that's on pace for, what, 8 or 9?
Mm-hmm.
He just costs too darn much.
You know,
so it's $16 million this year on the franchise tag, and you can just see it, Lori. Can't you just see it coming? At the end of the year, the Giants will have however many wins they have, and let's say, as we said, let's say Leonard Williams makes a nice push at the end. Let's say he has 10 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that would be a career high, and he's going to be in that. Well, do you re-sign
him? I think
him?
He's already tied his career totals this season. I mean, like, this is not a guy who sacks. So, yeah, it'd be by far a career high.
He's got 7. I think he had 17 in his career. So he's got 3. You know, maybe he gets a few more late push. You know, he's just going to be in that twilight zone where you're going to say he's played well. The Giants would like to keep him. He's only 26 years old. But now he wants a lot of money. I mean, he wanted a ton of money.
Yep.
Before, when they put the tag on him and they couldn't come to an agreement. So I think this defense has a lot of moving parts. The second cornerback spot is always up in the air. And they seem to be cohesive. You don't see guys, would you agree with this, Lori, that you don't see jailbreaks and guys running free and just easy completions and easy runs for the other team? And you look up and you say, what the heck happened there? You don't see as many what the heck happened there nearly as you did in the past.
Yeah, if we go back over the last few years, you and I both, I'm sure, you know, just so frequently there were miscommunications and blown assignments. That was so common with the Giants. And this team does seem to me to be, the defense is well coached with the talent they have. They seem to make the most of it. If they don't make a big play in a big situation, well, you know, other than Bradbury, you look at this team and there isn't necessarily anybody you're game planning for. But
Bradbury, no question, right? Martinez has got not a guy you game plan for.
But he's very good.
He's a good player. Yes,
yeah.
He's a good player. Mm-hmm. On a good team, he is heralded as a difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
On a team that's 1-5, he gets a lot of tackles. And the one thing, they had guys, Slayton, Martinez, Peppers, guys who were banged up, it seemed like, from the opening
mm-hmm.
snap, and they were going down, and they were coming off the field, and they were staying. You know, guys were getting concussion protocol in the tent. And I think there was a toughness there that was good to see. It was good to see, and I think that's, you know, when you talk about culture, that's some of the things you kind of look for, you know, between the lines, that this team has a toughness. They're not great at all, and they're really not very good, but they do have a toughness.
All right, so then last question before I let you go. When you talk about that team toughness, so 6 games in, first impressions, Joe Judge?
I like the way he manages the game. He's a little conservative at times, although he did pull some things. The fake field goal was a nice mm-hmm. play that he had to sign off on. The team is organized. The team speaks with one voice for now. Of course, everything is through Zoom, so it's kind of easy to do that, but nevertheless, they do. He does not criticize players publicly, so I think they like that. I know they like that. You like to see the synergy with the coaching staff and Daniel Jones get more connected because, he's a huge factor going forward. They're 1-5, and the head coach is, the record is on the head coach, but the team's not very good. I'm intrigued, and I want to see more. How about that?
I lied in terms of last question, though, because you just referenced it. In terms of the connection with the offensive coordinator and Daniel Jones, do you get the sense, was Jason Garrett maybe more of a head coach that Mara and Gettleman wanted, and that Judge said, that's okay with me, or is that his guy?
There's no question that the ownership wanted Joe Judge to have experienced coaches. He wowed them in this interview, but John Mara also admitted he really didn't know who Joe Judge was. So mm-hmm. it's not this guy with his resume. He says, man, we got to get this guy. He wowed them. Matt Rhule did not come in for an interview. He got a 7-year monster contract yep. in Carolina. That went by the board. Joe Judge wowed them. Let's hire Joe Judge, they say. So, but if Joe Judge brought in Patrick Graham and mm-hmm. some young, unproven offensive coordinator, that would not have flied with ownership. So Jason Garrett's a popular guy. That he was a backup quarterback with the Giants.
Yep.
They saw him for 10 years in the division with the Cowboys. Class act, right? Guy who always a popular guy, not a great head coach. I don't think they forced him. I think Joe Judge realized I need someone with some experience to run my offense. He did not have any experience with Jason Garrett, but it was a popular move. I don't think it was rammed down his throat, if that's what you're asking.
All right, we'll see. And we'll see what happens in terms of the off season with the Giants. But between now and then, hey, the NFC East, it's wide open. Paul Schwartz, always, always appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Laurie. My pleasure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.